All right, we are in the second in the series, ladies and gentlemen, of the study from Babylon to Jerusalem. You'll recall that God is always trying to share information with mankind. He's always telling us, trying to give us the ins and outs. And there are times when we, if we don't get it, he's pointing out, look over here, you know, in other words, follow these simple instructions and things will be well with us. And so what we find is that he has not left us without a witness. God is always sharing this type of information as to how he's going to intervene in world affairs and establish the kingdom of God. In the book of Daniel, both chapters 2 and 7 give detailed information starting from Babylon and culminating in the kingdom of God. In the last lesson, we covered chapter 2. Chapter 1 was really an assignment for those who are listening, those who are paying attention, for us to be able to go back and look over it. And I might add that it's challenging for the individual if you don't read these yourself. You need to pay close attention so that you can see what is, you know, actually being shared with us. In just recapping, let's go recap quickly, because in chapter 2 there was an image where Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, and he had this image. The head was of gold, the chest of silver, the belly and thigh of brass, the legs of iron, the feet part iron, part clay. Let's say that again another way. In the image, he has one, head of gold, number two, a chest of silver, number three, belly and thigh of brass, number four, legs of iron. Notice now, one, two, three, four. And the toes that are connected to the legs, they were part iron, part clay, different type of material. It's really an indication of the culture and language, but we'll cover it at another time. Now, these four sections represents the four main governments leading to the kingdom of God. You will go, or let me make sure I understand, make it clear. What is happening is that the kingdom of God is just going to come and be established. Jesus is going to come and just break up what remains of those government and establish the kingdom of God. So I just want to make sure we understand it, the transition and how it will take place. You will recall from chapter 2 that in the days of those kings, the God of heaven, supernaturally, there was a stone that come and smashed the toes, and everything was crumbled. And what you find, ladies and gentlemen, is that everything was encompassed in, even though the toes were the ones that were smashed. Now, it is the same way things are today. When we have governments of men invading others, they tend to absorb some of the culture of the people that they absorb. And so that is what we see taking place. So part of this gold is absorbed by the silver, and so you have silver and gold. And then part of the brass comes now, and it absorbs the silver and gold. So you have silver, gold, and brass. And then here comes the iron, and it has silver, gold, brass, and iron. And so that's what you find. Then you have iron and clay. And so it's, and some, one look at one translation this morning that it says ceramic clay. It doesn't really matter what kind, but the point is that that's what the Bible describes. So you have all those four main areas where God is letting us know this is what is going to happen. And we can just go to the internet, yeah, and read up on these things and find out for ourselves what God is trying to share with us. In chapter 7, what we find then is that now that we have established where we are, Daniel was in Babylon. He was one of the captives, as you read in chapter 1, that was taken to Babylon. So you went from Judah to Babylon. And now here he is. He had the dream, and God showed Nebuchadnezzar what was going on. Daniel now is actually able to, well, he get the vision. God speaks to him directly now because the connection is already made. And so in chapter 7, now he has a dream. He doesn't really have to connect anymore with the king of Babylon, although there were connections taking place. So Daniel had a dream and visions recorded in Daniel chapter 7. He says he was on his bed and he had this dream and he saw four beasts come up out of the sea. Four great beasts came up from the sea, and the sea here is the Mediterranean Sea. Now there are some who are trying to say, well, it means humanity. Well, it doesn't really hold water when it thinks of the resurrections. However, that really doesn't matter. So just accept it the way it is. It came up out of the sea, and that's all we really need to know. The first was like a lion. So these beasts now, four of them came up. The first was like a lion. And the second was like a bear. The third was like a leopard. It had four heads. And the fourth was strong as iron. It was different from all the others. And out of the fourth one came 10 horns. I want you to notice the difference now. Let's back up again. Let's look at this. We had the four Daniel. He saw the lion. Then he saw the bear rather. Then the third one was the leopard, and it had four heads, a total of six heads so far. Now, when we look at the interpretation, and it gives us, and you can read it starting in chapter 7, and there are others really, or such as verse 15, you will begin to see that the countries are named again, and they are Babylon, Media, Persia. And then you had Greece, and the third one was the Greece. That's the one led by Alexander the Great. That is the secular terminology, because he wasn't all that great if you think about it. But anyway, he came and he conquered. He didn't leave a successor. He died suddenly. And so his four generals divided up the kingdom, and more about that in chapter 9. A little later in another study. But what we find then is that the fourth beast is, the Bible is very explicit, that came up out of, and it's now, if you study world literature, you begin to see that out of the Greek Empire came the Roman Empire. You ever wonder why their symbols are very similar? Because, at least when I was studying in school, they were telling us that the Romans were Greek slaves. And that's another study by itself. But what we find, though, is that they succeeded Greece. So, we have a total of seven heads. Let's back up again and make sure we understand. First head was the gold that corresponds to the lion. The second head was, second part of the image, and the second beast was the one that leaned on one side, Media Persia. And the third was the Greeks, that's the leopard. And the fourth beast, and was different from all the others, verse 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, it was different from all the others. And out of it were 10 horns. Now in verse 8 it says he was looking at the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, when we talk about this little horn, I want you to make note of this, because we will talk about this in the very near future, another little horn. Now, when we study this out in the entirety, you begin to find that these horns represents leaders or kings in various sections of it. Now, notice they came up out of the fourth empire, which is the Roman Empire. And what we find then is that it was an attempt to resurrect the Roman Empire. There was a dispute between the little horn and those horns, and so three of them were plucked up. Those three were the three first attempt to resurrect the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire lasted approximately 500 years, and after that it died. But there were several attempts by the early, the Ostrogoths and the Vandals, from which we get the word vandalism. They were so destructive. But they were the first three resurrection. After that, they had an agreement between the little horn and all the other horns that came up after that. That is the little horn. You will find that it is actually a Roman church. It wanted to look just like the Roman Empire because it admired their structure. And so that's what we had. That little horn came up and just incorporated, really, and used even some of their titles. And so what we find today is that we call them the Roman, you know, church. There's a word that is actually two French words put together. It means bringing together of different truths. And so kato means bringing together, and lytic means different types of truth, or just truth. And so you bring them together and you find that Roman church. So that's what you actually have there as the little horn. And then from then on now, it is, you know, as we would say when I was growing up, things are involved. You'd say peck, peck. They're right there, just like a mother hen right behind you. Well, that's how they are with government. And it continues to this very day. If you look at the governments in Italy, they don't do anything without the, you know, approval of the Roman Church. It is not because they're very religious. Consequences will be taken, and that others have proven in the past that you don't go contrary to that organization without punishment. In fact, we're beginning to see some of that here in the United States, where a certain man decided to run for president and they're saying, it don't work like that. And so they're going all out to take him out. That kind of government don't put up with opposition. You can see clearly then it is not from God. All right, so let's read on a little more and then begin to get to some understanding of what is going on. Now, what you find is that there are 10 resurrections. We will prove this in another study. 9 of them have already taken place. The last one was under Adolf Hitler and Mussolini combination. The word Caesar corresponds to the German word Kaiser. You would say the German Kaiser or German Caesar or the Roman Kaiser. They're corresponding. That is translation. So you begin to see now when they're taking these titles, really what they are actually being. Because the Germans for many years, I'm talking about hundreds of years, they taught, and that is their historical viewpoint, that they are the sons of the Romans. They really believe they are the, and to some extent they are, the, you know, the descendants of the Romans. And so they inherited the Roman Empire, so to speak. So when they're going to make a final resurrection, it's going to be the 10th one. Now, they don't look at the scriptures the way you and I do, so they won't understand this. Don't expect them to understand it. But you and I, using the Spirit of God directing us, should have the wisdom and be able to recognize what is going on, and we can actually see this before it takes place, so that when it happens, we will know and confirm that that's what the Bible was talking about. Now, I want to go ahead and just point out that when Jesus comes back to earth, he's going to destroy the image that was with the tent represented by the toes. It was down to that portion. Remember now, each section of the image corresponds to governments at different eras or different stages. And so the toes is at the point where God comes and intervenes into human affairs and establishes the kingdom of God. It turns into a mountain, the stone says. I mean, the Bible says the stone turned into a mountain and it's going to fill the whole earth. What does that mean? It means that this government that was set up supernaturally, which we know as the kingdom of God, is going to eventually fill the whole earth. Who's going to be king of that kingdom? Jesus Christ. Who's going to help him? We, the saints. We who overcome. He's going to allow us to sit on the throne. Remember, he says, for those who overcome. Back in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. For those who overcome, for those who overcome, for those who overcome. He said it 7 times. Will he grant to sit with him on his throne? All right? And so that's what we're seeing formulating before our very eyes. So the book of Revelation it comes and it just use the terminology a beast with seven heads and ten horns. Well, what we find then is, remember we said there were seven heads from those four beasts, total of seven. The lion had one, the bear had one, the leopard had four, so that's six altogether, and then the iron beast, the fourth beast, that's the seventh head. Out of the seventh head comes ten horns, or ten sequential governments. We know they're sequential because they were not simultaneous. And besides, three of them were plucked up besides the roots. Now, I'm pointing this out because there's an organization that teaches otherwise. And so you need to know the difference and be able to validate this as we go along. Now, let's take it a step further and begin to recognize what is going on. What I'm saying to you is this. God is telling us and informing mankind what is going to happen in the future. Now, there are a lot of folks who run around call themselves prophets, trying to profess that they can tell the future. You don't need a prophet to tell you this. Just read the scripture and accept it the way it is. The Bible gives great detail with regards to what God is doing in chapters 2 and chapter 7. In fact, there are others, but we, for the time being, we're going to focus on those two chapters. And it has told us the governments that we are going to see on earth, the major governments, that is, starting with Babylon, then followed by Media Persia, followed by Greece, followed by the Roman Empire that lasted 500 years and it collapsed. Several attempts have been made to resurrect it. Three of them were plucked up by the Catholic Church. The fourth one, the king, he got smart. He said, let's go talk to the Pope. And so they made an arrangement. What was this? That they will take care of this physical government and let the Catholic organization handle the spiritual aspect of it. And from that point on, they continues. So when we're reading the book of Revelation about the beast and a false prophet, now you see how that came about. The beast represents the physical government. The false prophet represents the secular. The problem is that they are both fake. They are not really from God. But we will see, God's going to correct the whole thing and set up the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is going to be established on earth, and the number one city will be Jerusalem. The Bible teaches in Isaiah the second chapter, out of Zion shall go forth the law. Zion there means Jerusalem. So that's God's way of telling us what will happen in the future. And we can clearly see the changes starting with Babylon and culminating in Jerusalem. Hence the title of this series, From Babylon to Jerusalem. This is the essence of the good news. Good news, or the gospel, as some would describe it. The gospel is an old King James word. It means good news. And so the good news of the kingdom of God, or the gospel of the kingdom of God, that is the essence of it. What is that again? God is going to set up a kingdom on planet Earth, and we, the saints, who understand and are trained with him now, through these church teachings and so on, are going to reign and rule with him. We're going to talk more about this in the near, very near future, but I just thought I'd go ahead and just stir your imagination and show you how things are actually set up. God has a great plan, and we are going to be a part of it, and everyone who is hearing my voice can also be a part of it. Yes, he has more than enough room for us. You know, there is an expression, there's room at the cross for you. Well, here it is, there's room in this government for you, and you can be a part of it. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk more about this in the next lesson.